Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today we'll hear from Canon Seamus Cunningham, who'll become the 13th Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle on Friday the 20th of March 2009, a doubly important day as it's the feast day of St Cuthbert of Lindisfarne, the 7th century northern saint and patron of the diocese. In today's extended interview, Father Chris Jackson, Episcopal Vicar of Hexham and Newcastle, speaks to the Bishop-elect about his life and ministry. He started by asking Canon Seamus what he enjoys in his spare time.
Well, I like to walk quite a bit. Every morning I walk by the sea for about a half an hour, and later on in the day, if I have time, I walk for a half an hour again. I have great affinity to the sea. I love just watching the sea, the waves crashing, but also when it's calm, it's very exciting at any time. Also, as I walk along, it's an opportunity to think and reflect and to face the problems of life, if you like, but also to pray and to get in touch with what is going on in my life and what's going on round about me. I also enjoy listening to radio, and I do that quite a bit as I drive along, but I must admit that for the most part, it's listening to Radio Éireann, which helps me to keep in touch with my roots. But it's not just a question of keeping in touch with what's going on in Ireland, but I also get quite a bit of what's going on worldwide as well. I don't watch very much television. It's mainly radio, sometimes the local radio as well.
Your roots are obviously very important to you. I wonder if you could say a little bit about your own personal dream as a boy, and whether or not priesthood was included in that dream from a very early age.
Yes, well, from a very early age, from the time I was a boy, my dream was to be a priest. And when I was ordained 42 years ago, I thought I knew what was in store for me. But I was in for a rude awakening, because my priesthood had many ups and downs. Yeah. I thought that I'd spent about 17 years as a curate, possibly in three different parishes, and then I'd be appointed parish priest and I'd be there until I die. But that didn't turn out like that at all. I found myself being appointed to different positions that I'd never expected to be appointed to and that I wouldn't wish to be appointed to. But however, I embraced them, and I'm glad I did, because I grew through them. I was ordained in 1966 at St. John's College in Waterford Seminary, and that in itself could make a really good story. My ordination was a fantastic experience, and my journey home that evening was fantastic. By the time I reached home, it was midnight. Bonfires were blazing, people were out to meet me and greet me. About 100 cars came out 20 miles the road to welcome me home. And then there was a torchlight procession as I came near the church, a banner, "Welcome home, Father Seamus." And I gave benediction in the church, which was overflowing really. And that was at midnight. And then people escorted me to my home. It was a fantastic experience. And I experienced what community life is all about. And I was amazed at the number of people who came up to me at that time and said, "I've prayed for you every day since you entered the seminary, and I shall continue to pray for you as you journey through priesthood." And I've certainly experienced the power of that prayer.
And will many of those people who are still in this world be with you on Friday at your ordination as a bishop?
My brothers and sisters, they'll be with me, all except one, my brother Sean, who died over 20 years ago.
Right.
But my father and mother and many more have died. But my eight brothers and sisters who are still alive, they'll be there. 29 nephews and nieces, and I've also got 29 great-nephews and nieces. So all the families will be there, or most of the families, and also neighbours and friends from home.
Good. Good.
I think there will be, I think, about 105 coming from Ireland altogether. They begin on Wednesday, then I think about 20, 25 on Wednesday, and the rest coming on Thursday and Friday morning.
Looking back to the day when you were summoned to the nunciature in London to be told that the Holy Father wanted to appoint you as Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle, can you tell us how you felt when that question was put to you?
Well, I was shocked and I was stunned. And I thought to myself, what a big responsibility. And then I suppose all the problems began to loom up in front of me. So I suppose there was a certain amount of fear and anxiety there. But then I was very encouraged as the words of St. Paul began to surface in me. It was a passage from St. Paul from the second reading on the third Sunday of Advent. God has called you and he will not fail you. And it's rather strange that that passage struck me on the third Sunday of Advent, and I had been praying it all the week before I was called to the nunciature, and that was a source of great strength for me. Another passage that means a lot to me is, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. And I've really felt that word of God coming to life in me time and time again, because when I have felt helpless and hopeless and vulnerable, that was God's chance to get into my life, and he has certainly raised me up and given me strength and courage.
Looking forward to your taking up the role of Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle, I know that you worked very closely alongside your predecessor, Bishop Kevin Dunn. I remember you once saying that he had shared everything with you. Can you tell us what lessons you learned from working alongside him?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I found him a wonderful man, very warm, a great sense of humour, a lovely smile. And I was very impressed by the way in which he reached out to people, and especially to the vulnerable. And time again I heard him say, we must not crush the bruised reed. And he really tried to live that out. Again, he was a great man for putting different structures in place, and a great believer in using the gifts and the talents of other people. He recognized gifts and talents. He gave people responsibility, and then he placed his trust in them. And that's what I found about his treatment of me. I was his Vicar General. I was his Vicar General not just in name, but he really involved me in everything. And this was a very good preparation for what I am doing today. I'd say he was a great friend, and he was a great pastor to the Diocese of Hexham Newcastle. And sadly, I learned even more about coping with death and dying, because it was a great privilege for me to be with him and his great family throughout his illness and at the time of his death. And that was a year ago this month. I was there with his mother, Kath, and she was an inspiration to me, the way she coped with the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I administered the sacrament of the sick to both of them as Bishop Kevin was dying.
So, moving on now to your main priorities for the diocese, could you tell us what they will be?
Again, it will be very much a question of building on all the good work of Bishop Kevin and his predecessors. But I think amongst the most urgent will be the credit crunch and how it affects our parishes as well as our people. That's a very important area. And also, of course, the question of the shortage of priests. In common with other dioceses, there is a great shortage of priests, so we have to look very carefully at where we get our priests, have our priests involved, and what parishes. Again, the whole question of mass times and the number of masses in parishes, all those are very sensitive issues and have to be handled with care. The possible closure of churches. Here again, we've to be very sensitive. We've to consult a lot and help people to accept the changes. Other areas would be, of course, the training of lay people to accept more responsibility, the ongoing formation of clergy and laity, and then, of course, we have empty properties, and we must be prepared to find other acceptable uses for them. And I suppose a great priority is to help priests and people to face and accept change together. I think those are the main areas that come to mind at present.
You've mentioned the problem of lack of vocations to priesthood and religious life. Do you have any specific plans for encouraging people to consider both or either of these ways of life as a possibility for them?
Yes, well, there again, it's a question really of building on what is going on at present in the diocese. There's a lot going on. For example, you have the House of Hospitality in Penshaw, where young men, in this case young men, come together to pray and to discern their vocation. And then you have the youth mission team, which is doing terrific work. We have what is known as the youth village, and eventually this will be residential, but at present young people go there for day retreats and day of recollection. The youth mission team go into the schools and spend a week there working with the school and working through the parishes. And also thousands of young people go on for a day of recollection to Osho College. So there is a lot going on there already, and it's a question of building on that. As a matter of fact, on Saturday I spent a few hours in Osho with our Diocesan Youth Council. And one of the questions they asked there, where does my hope for the future lie? And I said, having sat here and listened to you, there's a lot of hope there.
That's great.
And again, what I've seen going on when I was in Lourdes, there is great hope there as well.
Yes, yes. Would you say that when you went on the diocesan pilgrimage to Lourdes last year, that was one of the highlights of your year?
It certainly was. I'd even go so far as to say one of the highlights of my priesthood. I went back to Lourdes for the first time in 37 years, and what I experienced there was a diocese coming together as a family. And what really impressed me was the sick, to see their courage and to see the joy in their faces as they were brought to the grotto and to the different services. And of course, we had over 200 young people there who gave up their free time to help the sick. And in some cases they did. They were up very early and they were really committed. They did terrific work there. They gave a lot, but it was very obvious that they received a lot as well, and people were very impressed by them. Another thing that impressed me was we had a Marian service one night, and one of our young people sang the Benedictus to the tune of Danny Boy. And then when I was asked to be bishop, and as we were preparing for the ordination, I thought I'd like to have him, Stephen Rooney is his name, to sing a hymn to the tune of Danny Boy. For two reasons. First of all, the hymn itself tells us of God's great love for each one of us and what Christ has done for us, how he has died to redeem and save us. But also it reminds me of my youth when I was growing up in Ireland, especially in the summertime when we'd be out saving the hay in the fields. We might have it almost saved when there would be a downpour of rain, and we'd all have to come into the house, and the neighbours would be helping us as well. And very often, as we drank cups of tea and ate sandwiches, we'd have a sing-song. And one of the songs was Danny Boy. So that pulls away at my heartstrings, and I'm very keen to have that on my ordination day.
Yes. And as you're looking forward to the ordination day now, do you have any nerves at all, any apprehension?
Lots of nerves.
Yes.
Quite anxious. I think it's going to be very emotional. But it will be wonderful to be in a packed cathedral where you'll have so many people from all over the diocese, as well as family and friends. And I must say that I'm really looking forward to my family coming. We're a very close-knit family. They've been very supportive down the years, and I know it will be a great day for me and for them, and I thank God for them.
Bishop-elect Seamus Cunningham there, looking ahead to his ordination and installation as the 13th Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle. For more information, visit the diocesan site www.rcdhn.org.uk, and for more from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk.